You're listening to 91.5 FM. That is WMFO in Medford.
This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford.
Gotta turn the automation off. Yes, you're listening to What's Happening. This is every Sunday from 5 to 6 o'clock right here at WMFO 91.5 FM and WMFO.org. So today we have a guest. I am Mike Stewart.
I am Aaron.
And I am Sarah. Oh, hi, I'm Sarah from Savoir Faire.
Here
Welcome.
We go.
Hi.
It's nice to have you in today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful day out, too.
It is so gorgeous outside. This is my ideal weather. I know a lot of people love the summer, but if it stayed like this, I would be happy. I'm one of those people.
Is there an app for that?
If only.
There is.
I'm sure there is. There's an app for everything, right?
Almost everything.
Almost everything.
The delete app has not been created that you need yet.
This is true. I'm amazed at how many music apps are out there. Not just for like listening to music, identifying music, but playing music. I've been starting to delve just like slightly tap into that world, and I've quickly become very overwhelmed with all of the apps and technology that are out there. It's really amazing.
Yeah, everything with technology is so overwhelming. I mean, back the other day, we had to go look for it. Mm-hmm. We had to get a book, or we had to see it on television, mm-hmm. or, you know, a pamphlet or something like that, or a phone call. Now it's all at our doorstep. Sometimes too much.
I agree.
You got to put the filter on sometimes.
I agree.
Yeah. You know, it's like, there's some things on Facebook I really don't need to see.
Yes, yeah. I would concur with that. Sometimes we get a little focused on, I say we as if we're encompassed in that, but I feel like there's so much focus these days on the social media sometimes, and there's the day-to-day life too, right,
yeah.
that we need to live. But that's like a cliche thing to say, but it's so true.
I think you could balance. I mean, some things your friends, you like to see a little insight, you know, their kid first steps or whatever it may be, or a cookout or relatives or funny bunnies or whatever, but some bad things can happen there. One of my email accounts got hacked and sent explicit stuff to my friends, so I apologize that was Juno, that was not me.
Yeah.
It could be an Aaron.
That's why you shouldn't be on Juno.
Yeah. Actually, I've been having a lot of problem with email service, but I won't get too much into that.
The wonder of it all.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a little bit crazy with that, but technology is great in many ways.
Yes, indeed.
I conquer technology. Technology does not like me. You can ask Mike. I've had more phones than the phone company.
Yeah. We're not going to call him a phony, though. Get it?
I love a good pun.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. My friends hate me this week.
No, they really do.
That
was a good one.
No, I'd be the superstar of Direct Connect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... and also, as I was coming in, Red Sox won again. Six in a row.
Wow.
You know, I do not keep up with sports at all, so you could tell me anything and I would believe it.
You won a Grammy.
Well, I don't know if I'd believe that one.
You're going on a tour of the moon and Mars.
All right.
Hey.
Well, actually, no. Earlier, I had Venus and Mars Project on up in Salem.
Cool.
Yeah.
When I walked in today, you talk about technology. Last week before I left, there was a record over in the corner. And I had to come in because I know I actually have the album boxed away.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to take a picture of it because I have not seen the album other than my collection. And that's now about, 2000. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been about 11 years. Over in that corner, which just shows what I grew up watching as a kid. Let's see. Instead of running over there and grabbing it off the shelf.
It's all good. We've got time. I'm on the edge of my seat, though. Yeah. Like, literally sitting on the edge of my seat.
If you
wondering.
Look around, we're one of the stations that kept the vinyl.
Ooh.
We play it, too. We have three turntables.
I thought you were talking about the chairs.
Oh, I went to University of New Hampshire for my undergrad, and they had shelves and shelves of vinyl, too, and it was always a kick when they do vinyl week.
Mm.
Get out all the good stuff.
Did you get to participate the radio station there at all?
My best friend was a DJ at the radio station, so I could sometimes go in and watch her do her thing.
Oh,
but
cool.
I wasn't a DJ myself.
What were their call letters?
91.3
WUNH. UNH, okay.
Yep.
And I imagine they're probably web streaming now, too.
I imagine they are.
Yeah.
I don't listen to it these days, I hate to admit, unless I'm driving through.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I get to that area, I'm like, oh, let's see what's on WUNH's radio station.
What'd you get your degree in?
I got my undergraduate in music ed, and I got my master's again in music ed, and now I'm going again in graduate school for even more music ed, but I'm specifying this time music ed, and so Berkeley is opening an institute for the arts and disabilities, so this time I'm focusing on that.
I was going to say that's the best place to go. It's got to be about 10 years ago, my great aunt, had a stroke. And I said, why? And after watching her, because they had their 55th anniversary, and had a local artist come in and perform, and she's moving her feet and her arm to the music. I said, why isn't she a music therapy?
It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. There's a documentary on Netflix, I think it's still there, called I cannot remember what it was called, but if you type in music, it will show up. And it's about a man who goes into like senior homes with people who are nonverbal, and they've become nonverbal in their age or through dementia or what have you, and he researches what music they listened to when they were younger, and suddenly they can remember everything about themselves and the people in their lives. They start talking. There was a man who he wasn't really communicating with anyone at all, and he was just kind of like hunched over in his seat, and the second they started playing the music of his past, he just came alive again.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Well, and you've also, there are many people with disabilities who, if they sit at an instrument that seems familiar or something that strikes whatever disability they have, I think there's a great pianist who's like that, who hasn't, who's gone through that, where he'll sit down and can play, or, but that's the album.
The Partridge Family. That's a hoot. So I actually myself did not listen much to the Partridge Family, but I like to reference them because the band Savoir Faire is made up of myself, my sister, my boyfriend, and then our friend. He's the on and out. But I swear we're not Partridge Family. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Well, you know, considering
all the family.
The Partridge Family only had two singers, David Cassidy and Shirley Jones.
Uh-huh.
The rest of them didn't sing and they didn't play.
Yeah. I believe that.
And
it was because it was a show, right?
But David Cassidy could sing. And, of course, you know, Shirley Jones, all those great musicals from Oklahoma and Music Man and, you know, all those great shows.
Yeah.
I wonder if our guest would like to do a PSA.
Sure.
We get a book full of them for you.
Absolutely. I would love to. So I get to pick?
Yes, you get to pick.
Oh, boy.
I always go for the shortest one because...
Choose wisely.
Yeah. I think you get...
Am I upside down?
Yeah.
I sure am upside down. All right.
Wasn't there a song called The World Upside Down? Or was that Around the World in 80 Days?
No, The World According to Garp.
There you go.
All right, let's see what we've got here in this Book of Wonders.
A singing PSA. Now, that would be different.
Would you like me to sing it?
That would really be cool.
I don't mind doing that. Let's see. There are so many things to pick from.
I wonder why, while she's checking one out, we should play our theme
song.
So
many options.
Yeah, why don't we play our theme song?
And that'll give you a minute to find the PSA of your choice.
Okay.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Mike. And you are?
And I'm Sarah.
There you
from
go.
Self Affair. Sorry, I'm like looking at all. Okay.
You're on What's Happening.
Fenway's all aglow. A book night after lands down the street. Guitar in hand and summer heat. The faithful in their red and blue. A crowd outside the house of blues. A dodge of vendors, hawkers, gawkers, stalkers in my way. Breaking strings on. Until then, here we remain with our stranging, ringing, singing away.
Yes, you're listening to What's Happening. I'm Mike.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Sarah.
And Sarah's going to do us a big favor today. She's going to do a PSA.
I sure am.
What have you picked out, Sarah?
All right. Well, for many high school students, sometimes the differences between dropping out and graduating can be a boost. A boost from someone in their life who can help them see just what they have the potential to become. Visit boostup.org to find out how you can help a student in your life finish high school. Because high school is hard. But graduating is harder. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Thank you. And what else do you have for us?
Well, you are listening to What's Up?
Happening.
What's Happening?
What's Happening? I'm sorry. Wow, my brain.
Okay, you can rewind. Here we go. One, two, three, go.
You are listening to What's Happening on WMFO Medford.
And we are again?
You are listening to 91.5. WMFO Medford, and this is Sarah from Savoir Faire.
Thank you.
To terrific. So, do you have something you'd like to play for us?
Sure thing. I'm going to play some newer stuff because that seems to be the thing that makes the most sense. And how many tunes would you like today?
Whatever we have time for.
Okay. So. Well, let's start with one. That's a good place to start. This song is called This Sound and This Noise. You know that this is how it starts. It gets all tangled in your brain. But it's wider than the sky, and it'll cipher all your pain. And like a drip of sick drug, just one drop is all you need. And it'll twist into a tree from one minuscule seed. And you'll say, what is this sound? What is this noise? And what is its name? How does it have the power to make me feel insane? And you'll say, what is the sound? What is this noise? And what is its name? How does it have the power to make me feel insane? And love, oh love, oh love, my heart used to be mine. Love, oh love, oh love, my heart used to be mine. 'Cause you gave it all your heart, but it wants your soul. It cannot stand to be apart. It cannot place you on parole. And you find it everywhere, round every corner, every crease, seeping into what you allow. It cannot stop, it will not cease. And you'll say, what is this sound? What is this noise? And what is its name? How does it have the power to make me feel insane? And you'll say, what is this sound? What is this noise? And what is its name? How does it have the power to make me feel insane? And love, oh love, oh love, my heart used to be mine. Love, oh love, oh love, my heart used to be mine.
Speechless.
Oh, well, shucks. Thank you.
As a musician, great intonation, great vibrato, great coding.
Thank you.
Great
thank
voice.
You, thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to throw my guitar in the fireplace.
Don't!
all of them?
It's going to take a while.
shall I play another one?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, part of what what this project of savoir-faire is borrowing from two genres that are really big in my life. One is jazz, the jazz standards. I really kind of got into that when I was in high school. I did jazz band, I did jazz choir, and then I went to college for jazz guitar and kind of fell in love with the Ella and Louis duets and the Ella and Joe Pass duets. So there's that chunk. And then there's the rock and roll that I grew up listening to and still hold near and dear to my heart and trying to fuse those two together. But with that said, this tune is really trying to embrace the standard part with current lyrics, so current topics. And it's called Someday. Doesn't matter which way you spin. Sometimes you lose and sometimes you win. Till someday, someday, someday. There's strife, always going somewhere. There's strife, I hope they'll get some sun there. Doesn't matter which way you spin, for some they never win. Till someday, someday, someday. Sitting in an umbrella, catching raindrops from the clouds, I guess that I misheard them. Doesn't matter anyhow. Isn't it nice with your head up in the clouds? Isn't it nice? Crowns on all the clowns. Doesn't matter which way you spin, for some they always win. Till someday, someday, someday. Ba-ba-da-day, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-day. Sitting in an umbrella, catching raindrops from the clouds, I guess that I misheard them. It doesn't matter anyhow. My life always going faster. My life, you can paint it alabaster. It doesn't matter which way you spin. Sometimes you lose and sometimes you win. Till someday, someday, someday. Thank you so much.
So, you were mentioning growing up listening to rock and jazz.
Yes, indeed.
And, I mean, I've played both on the air. Who were your influences, and you know, who influenced you to start playing the guitar?
Oh, Well, I am a child of the 90s. Oh, no, I take that back. Born in the 80s, growing up in the 90s. My parents listened to a lot of music. My mom loves Santana. My dad, he listened to, we were always listening to music in the car, which is why I can't drive in the car without music playing. So it was the Beatles, it was the Police, it was the Cars, David Bowie, the Talking Heads. And, you know, you listen to that growing up, you go through your own phase. And then as I hit my teen years, I kind of went full circle of, oh, this is the music I should be listening to. And that's why my dad was listening to it. But in the 90s, there was a huge like singer-songwriter revival, and especially with the female singer-songwriters. So I started on piano, but once that movement kind of took way, I fell in love with Jewel. And I wanted to be like Jewel, who was actually a great guitar player. I was, when her second album came out and I'm looking through like the credits on the CD, I was dismayed in my 12-year-old self to see that she didn't play all the guitar tracks on the album, because her guitar playing, her finger picking style and use of harmonics and all that was really good. But that was initially the reason why I told my parents that I wanted to learn guitar. I was in sixth grade. I remember cutting out pictures of guitars in magazines and like pasting them in my binder. And
well, I think your parents' investment paid off in spades.
I think so too. My mom encouraged me to do jazz band in high school because as a guitarist, I couldn't do any other ensembles until high school. And I'll tell you, I had no idea what I was doing. All those funky 13th and 9th chords. But I owe it to my band teacher, Mr. Furland, at the time. He encouraged me to do honors jazz band. I don't think it was because I was a stellar guitar player. I think it's because he realized that I wanted to be there and wanted to do it. And then he retired, and a new band director, Dave Umstead, I think his name was. He really helped me get into college. And Karen Sayward was the choral director for jazz, and she was very inspiring as well. And that's where I started listening to the big band stuff. And my parents listened to Frank Sinatra a lot, so that was already kind of there, and Tony Bennett. Listening to Ella Fitzgerald was like a whole new world for me with the scat and the
way it just clicked with you.
Yeah, the way she would just reinterpret things. And looking back, going back to the 90s and like the female singer-songwriter thing, one artist that I was really enthralled with at the time but didn't really, you know, I was a kid, I didn't really understand the music at the same level. And as I got older, I came back to Fiona Apple. And just her way with lyrics and interpretation of melodies, where it's not quite jazz, but it was her own thing. It was her own style. And I'd have to say that she and Ella Fitzgerald are probably like the top two like musicians in my life for listening. In terms of guitar playing, when I got into high school, you know, I was like, wanted to be in a rock band and I loved Metallica, not gonna lie. Can't say I could play like them, but I aspired. I had my Metallica mixtape. But I discovered a band called Muse and a band called Radiohead. And those two bands have endured with me as I've gotten older. And the guitar work that Matt Bellamy of Muse does and the innovations he does to the guitar in general is, you know, he borrows from classical and he borrows from like the Baroque music and jazz and rock and all these different things that he just makes it his own. And I think, again, not that I could play anywhere close to Matt Bellamy, but having that music and feeling inspired by it and saying, hey, I want to try to learn this song, might not get there, but learning other people's music, somewhere along the line you come up with your own thing. And
And you definitely have.
And I'm rambling.
No, you definitely have come up with your own style. I mean, it's great because you're bringing in a lot of different, it's like a lot of world influences too.
Yes.
Because I was hearing a little bit of the Spanish music, mm-hmm. and, you know, it just, little bit of everything.
Yeah. It's funny because people say that a lot, and it's funny how things kind of noodle their way into your brain without you realizing it. Because like I said, my mom listened to a lot of Santana, and I didn't really listen to a whole lot of it. And when I got to college at UNH, I had a band director, and he would always, when he'd want a guitar solo, he'd say, give me Santana, and I would always fail him. I would always sit there petrified, like, oh, I don't know.
I can give you Don Rickles.
And but somewhere along the lines, I internalized a lot of those scales. Another one was Rush. I loved Rush when I was in high school, and a couple friends and I decided for a talent show that we would play YYZ. And I didn't know. I was just like looking at the tab and listening to the cassette tape over and over again. And a lot of the scales used in that song, I realize, have kind of noodled their way into my songs without me realizing it. So music's a funny thing.
I got to throw out some names to you. See if Manhattan Transfer.
Ah!
A Coleman. You know who I'm talking about.
I know Manhattan Transfer. They strangely follow me on Instagram, which bless their little hearts.
John, John Coleman's wife.
Okay.
She did jazz, and obviously Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse, love. I was, you know, I've never felt...
Excuse me, Coltrane, I'm sorry.
Coltrane, of course.
Alice Coltrane, I'm sorry.
You know, people come and go, and I realize it's a part of life, and I don't really feel that saddened when somebody famous passes away, but when Amy Winehouse passed away and with David Bowie passed away, it was like, I don't know, something about those two.
Yeah, major.
It made me really sad.
For me, it was like Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison. The list kept going on and on.
Yeah, that 27 Club.
Yeah. Right. Well, because the thing is that there is a fabulous jazz singer who failed the jazz, went into the mainstream rock and roll and music, became the number one selling artist, and she went back to jazz, just like Amy Winehouse did just before she passed.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Gaga.
Yes.
And Lady Gaga is...
phenomenal.
As a jazz singer.
Yes.
And...
as an anything singer, dare I say.
Well, her mainstream stuff doesn't hit me the way it does in jazz, because I used to have a jazz show and produce a jazz show too, and it's just like those tracks came out in December of 2014, and that whole album, and it was just like, this is, you know, because you're not sure, you know, and Tony Bennett performed with both of them.
Yeah, yes, on his, he does those duets albums, and
he also did one with Queen Latifah, I think, too.
Yeah, she's great.
It's like, I mean, you know, coming from the different areas, like you're saying, you listen to this and then you went here and went, came back. They went back to roots of, you know, music that are fantastic.
And they have an ear for it. I think jazz is kind of weird in that it's not always, like, we like to joke and say, oh, there's no wrong note. In jazz, you can't make a mistake, and like, of course, there are notes that might not fit in, but the improvisational aspect of it, you know, you can get a little off track, but if you have an ear for it, you can find your way back again, and it's okay if it's not what was on the paper.
What they call that, being outside, or grace note? Yeah.
Yeah.
Improv, straight improv. And, I mean, with us growing up, the name of your band was the name of a character in a cartoon. How did you come to the name?
How did we come to the name? So for a long time, it was just me. I would just play, like up at UNH, I would play open mics. And I would just go by my name, Sarah Fard. And when I moved out here, I had my first teaching position. I was dead tired all the time. But every night I would go out to an open mic. I'd go to the Cantab, I would go to the All Asia, but I would still only play jazz standards because I was like too scared to do my own thing. And then I got to the Lizard Lounge, which is where you guys met me, Tom Bianchi, and I realized you had to play your own stuff if you wanted to make it into the final round. So I started getting brave and playing my own playing my own stuff. And then eventually, you know, sometimes my sister would join me on the drums. Sometimes friend Gary would join on the keys. And people didn't really know what to book us as. It was Seraphard, or it was the Seraphard Trio, or the Seraphard Quartet. And I'm like, you know, my name's not that exciting. And it was often misspelled as Sarah Ford.
You could have gone Sarah Bowie, but...
shucks. So we played around with different names for a while, and every name we came up with was either already taken, or we couldn't agree that we liked it. So, and I don't even actually remember who came up with it, but the initials Seraphard, Savoir-Faire, are the same. And even though it's horrendously difficult to spell so that no one can ever find us online, savoirfairemusic.com, little plug there.
But see, going back to the cartoon, was always being chased by Klondike Cat. Savoir-faire is everywhere.
Yes. So people have said that to me. And I am actually, I wasn't really familiar with the cartoon before.
I think you are now.
I am now. It was mostly because the initials and then the translation of, like, you have a certain savoir-faire, a certain kind of sophistication. And even though I want to take it down the rock avenue, I want to hold on to some of the sophistication that
you can do. Sophisticated rock,
absolutely,
absolutely. I mean,
so, you know, we can be wild and rebellious, but with an air of sophistication
and class.
And class, exactly. So, on our Facebook page, it says, "Keep it classy, keep it jazzy."
You're listening to WMFO. What's happening? 91.5 FM and WMFO.org.
Do you have something else for us?
Sure thing. This is probably, I would say, the newest song that the band has been playing. We played it last weekend at Nick's in Worcester. It didn't fall apart, so there's hope. It's called Education. Because as a teacher, of course, I'm thinking about these things. But I think an education is a combination of so many things. And just life in general, you get an education from that. You say you want an education. I'd like to give you an education. Well, we all fall down. Yes, we all fall down. Yes, we all fall down. The best in the whole damn nation. You'd like to be the best in the whole damn nation. Reaching for that crown. Reaching for that crown. Reaching for that crown. Here comes the application. It's gonna take a little bit of concentration. You can't point a finger or two without five pointing back at you. Ooh, ooh. You were ready for desecration. You even gave it a bit of designation. Well, you'll burn it down. Gonna burn it down. You burn it right to the ground. You're gonna burn it down. Down, down, down. Burn it down.
Change the line from Klondike Cat. He always gets his music.
cute. Yeah, that cartoon's come up a couple of times. I wish I could say that we were more influenced by it because it's old, but...
Well, no. But you know what? People hopefully are being influenced by your music.
I hope so.
And your talent, because it just... It's fantastic.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. That's music, I think, in a nutshell, is... moving people and connecting with people. One of the things I love about playing the old standards, I mostly play the original stuff these days, but every once in a while I'll do a show of just the old stuff or throw in some of it. And because it's endured for so long, you get people of so many different ages that can connect with it. And I remember one of my early gigs as an artist, like a real gig that I'd booked, and I'd finished in the wee small hours of the morning, and there was an older couple sitting near the front, and I just remember noticing that they looked moved, and that meant so much to me. And I don't know what the song reminded them of or if it was just the song in general, but that for me, as corny as this sounds, like that's why you play music live.
Do you remember the song?
Yeah. You want me to play it? Let's do it. In the wee small hours of the morning, when the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the boy. Never ever think of counting sheep. When your lonely heart has learned its lesson, you'd be his if only he would call in the wee small hours of the morning. the time you miss the most of all.
Ukulele on a guitar. At least that's what I was getting out of the, you know, it sounded very, very Hawaiian and islandish when you're, that's why I'm saying the ukulele.
I've actually, so this beautiful instrument I bought a year or two ago from my former teacher up at UNH, Dave Newsom, because he's still teaching at Berkeley, teaching at UNH, and he had some guitars he wanted to unload, and I didn't own a classical myself, so I purchased it, and I'm realizing I was playing, I wrote that arrangement for electric, so I'd actually never played it on this one before and heard what it sounded like and some of those higher chord melody notes. Yeah, they were, it sounded different.
So, you also said, you know, because you went from one side of music to the other.
Uh-huh.
If you were to play a rock song, what would it sound like? And who would it be? But to make it even more interesting,
okay.
When you write from experience, from thoughts and dreams, and you write, you know, using pen and paper or recorder, or how would you do that?
All of the above. When I write a song, usually I get like a riff or a melody stuck in my head. Sometimes it's a guitar part, sometimes it's a melodic line, and usually I will, now that not speaking of technology, sometimes I'll do the I'll record the idea on my phone so I don't forget it, because my memory can be fleeting. And sometimes I'll kind of bang out the chords first, or just the riff and kind of work around that. Or sometimes, usually once I have some chunks of the song out, then I'll go to the lyrics and try to fit it to the melody I have in mind. But I'll usually have like an intent with the lyrics before I start. And sometimes that's personal experience. Sometimes that's somebody else's story that I've observed that I felt like I could connect with in some way. And sometimes that's just like commentary on what's going on in the world. So that wasn't a very direct answer.
But it was your answer, so it's my answer. So it's right. And it's correct.
As for the rock music, I mean, there are so many songs I'd like to take on. And these days, as a teacher, I find myself kind of speed learning songs, and then they unfortunately kind of dissipate from my mind. Like, I learn them so that other people can, so I can write them down for other people.
What's the first rock song that really grabbed you?
Oh, goodness. What a loaded question. Does it have to be a song that I can play?
Well, it'd be nice.
Because that would be a different answer.
Or both.
It was probably a song by the Beatles, I just have to say, because my dad would listen to those anthologies so much. But if I'm going to stick with... let's see. I'd mentioned Muse before, and you know, some of their older albums especially, I would just listen to like over and over and over again. So I think we're gonna see what I remember from this. If I forget something, I'm gonna make it up.
You can do that.
Thank you. Thank you. That was supposed to be Sing for Absolution by Muse, but we got a little detoured along the way.
If you had, being a teacher, advice for up-and-coming artists and those who want to be, what would you suggest?
I would suggest find the musicians that speak to you, learn their music, but don't copy their music, because along the way you will find what you are, and don't worry too much about what you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to be playing or learning music, because what might work for one person might not work for you, or vice versa. And some of the greatest musicians in music history, you know, let's take Django Reinhardt, for example, on guitar. You can't tell me that there's a correct or incorrect guitar fretwork or fingering, because he had two fingers and he made it work. He did his own thing. So I'd say, you know, borrow from this and that, but do your own thing and find the people that can support you in that.
And sounds like you found that.
I hope so.
Do you ever write on the spot?
On the spot? I would say I can improvise on the spot. I might not remember it exactly in the future.
Well, you said you love the beautiful weather today.
Yes.
So I've got a title for you. Sunny, Funny, Sunshine.
Sunny, Funny, Sunshine. Would we like this to be a happy or a sad song?
Whichever way you'd like to go.
Okay.
The sunny, funny sunshine is coming my way. A sunny, funny sunshine. Ooh. Won't you stay? Won't you stay? Won't you stay? Won't you stay?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, love to have you back in again.
Absolutely.
And also up at WM, I'd love to have you in also.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
And let people know where they can find you.
All right. Well, we do have a website, savoirfairemusic.com. I'd say the best place to find us and what we're doing, you know, I update the website, but I most update the Facebook page. So you can find that through our website, savoirfairemusic.com. And I'll do, I'll feature other artists that if you like listening to Savoir Faire, you might like listening to them. I know Zion Rodman was on the show recently. And
yes, we're happy to see he's moving on, but sad to see him go.
Exactly. So I wanted to make sure I did a blast about him. I liked, I'm doing this new thing where I like to feature local guitar players to kind of exhibit all the different types of guitar players that are in our community. And I'll also do some Name That Tune to keep our, you know, the educational part of music and
our mind puzzles to keep the wheels turning.
Yeah, so if you know your guitar riffs, you can check in on that. And also do some at-home performances. I did a Facebook Live concert recently, and that was really fun, so I'll probably do that again. But I'll post about our upcoming shows and any music releases, and the next full band show is actually on Friday at the Riverwalk in Nashua. And we'll be playing a set, and Ruby Rose Fox will be playing a set after us.
So, one of our faves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two Boston.
She's fantastic.
Two Boston fans, yeah.
Here on WM.